Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Try Catch powered by EI2. My name is Sydney Andreessen. I'm an application developer, and I will be our host today. And we are continuing on with our series of episodes about innovation. And I would encourage you to check back at our previous episodes that introduced the topic of innovation, talked about how we find ideas, and all about the Rural Business Investment Program and how that brings innovation to the industry as well. And today's topic is specifically about trends in innovations, in specifically in spaces that apply to our industry cross-section at the associations of ag, tech, and finance. So now I will quickly throw it to our guests, Dane and Michael, who are returning with us this episode to give themselves a little reintroduction.
Thank you, Sydney. Thanks for having us back. This is Dane Braun. I'm an innovation manager on the team here. I actually live in Fargo and work out of the Fargo office, so just perfect here timing to come in, do an interview in person in Omaha. So thanks for having us back.
Yeah, and I'm Michael Jarrow. I'm another one of the innovation managers on our team here and resident dad joke nerd, maybe?
That's pretty accurate, sure. Yeah.
And I'm here in Omaha, located here in Omaha, but also super thrilled to be back again to keep talking about innovation.
Yeah. And you keep having us back. This is great.
Yeah, we're happy to have you guys back, and you're good partners with our group. Now, before we get into specific trends for this episode, can you just give us an overview of this business of tracking trends?
Yeah. So we can throw a couple things out. Mind if I get started?
Go ahead, Dane.
All right. So what does it mean to track trends? I mean, it can be a lot of different things, but ultimately what we're really trying to talk about is patterns, right? What are the kind of patterns and tendencies and things that we're seeing in businesses, in finance, in things next to us but not us, but also in things that are us, lending, agriculture, the world in general, consumer habits, like just what are the things that then might have an impact on the way that we serve our customers, the way that we think about moving into the future, the way that we do the things we do already today, and ought to be adjusting them because people are expecting new things. I think it's not hard for us to go back and think about examples over the last many years, and we'll even end up talking about them, where we see expectations change over time. But one of the things I wanted to make sure to point out, tracking trends and innovation trends, they are not specifically and only technology. So innovation kind of happens across the entire value creation and delivery space. And technology is a huge enabler. And we end up talking a lot about technology because there's so many big, and we're going to talk about it today. I mean, it's going to happen because there's some really key and exciting things that are changing the space. But it doesn't just happen there. Sometimes innovation is happening in the way that we deliver through different channels and the way that we create the value, the types of things we learn to do or maybe partner with someone else to do. And so we're looking at trends across all of those spaces, and think about really just focusing the trend in on the value, maybe not the enablers. We'll talk about the enablers, but the real trend is the value that's changing and how that value is created or delivered or consumed or even given back to us, right? We all know that we pay for things that we value, and everything is that way. So there's value going both directions in every exchange.
Yeah, I just add there's a lot of people that are put out trends, right? Like we look at McKinsey, Deloitte.
Yeah.
I mean, you could Google trends, you'll find them, right? There's plenty. And so, you know, we try to we have a big funnel when we start, and we're trying to like approach it from the mindset of how could this maybe impact our customers, our owners, our teammates, the association in general, the farm credit system. And so we're kind of taking a bigger approach when we start looking, and then we narrow it down further and further. And it's an evolution. Like once we put this trend report out, in quotation marks, because it's ever evolving. Like we're going to be adding to it here shortly with a couple other trends with the new administration that's come in that may impact our business or agriculture in general. So it's evolving. It's not stagnant.
Yeah.
That's a great little overview. And on the topic of the definition of innovation and that not necessarily just being technology where some of our minds might like to go, I'd encourage listeners to go back to, I believe, our first episode in this series where we talked a lot about that and how we define innovation and think about it and the three different tracks that your team breaks it out into as well. And on the topic of value and how these trends are ever evolving, I'm wondering, do you see some of these trends be driven more by whether there are our teammates or our customers or other businesses finding new problems? Or is it more driven by, I just want to do things better and quicker and do more of the things that I've been doing for years? I'm just curious.
I think it can be both. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, our job is not to come up with like, here's what we need to do. Like, there's a lot of leaders within the company and conversations that still need to happen with customers that after we take this trend, it's a thought provoking. They should be thought provoking trends mm-hmm. to just right. help us make sure we're thinking differently or even challenging our current thoughts just to push us along. But there's still a further like definition that needs to come, or there always should be an actual problem sure. to solve. And there should be value, and we need to sometimes test for that as well. So, Michael, would you add anything there?
I think we can even think of examples over time, right? So taxis, you had to own a lot of cars and have a place to put them and have a place to stay and a place to repair them. And then somebody came up with the idea, someone we know and love called Uber, of making a marketplace where they didn't own a single car, they didn't house them, they didn't repair them. They created a marketplace. Mm-hmm. That marketplace model then became a trend that you see in
Airbnb.
All sorts of things, Airbnb, yeah. right? And in mm-hmm. fact, Airbnb may have been first, Uber may, like, but right. but that marketplace model started as an innovation in the way that the value was delivered and the way that an organization thought about what assets they had to have to deliver that value. And then it became a trend that lots of people followed. And so, like, sometimes it wasn't a new problem, but it was a new way of organizing around solving the problem. And it was enabled by technology. It was enabled by a lot of different things. But really, the innovation was the model of, I'm not going to own a hotel room. I'm not going to own a car to give people rides. And yet, I'm booking more hotel rooms than the top five hotels combined one year. It was a stat I saw. Booking more rides than the largest taxi companies combined without owning a single one of those assets. And so, like, I think those trends, like I said, they can be both. It can be people are solving new problems that we didn't realize we needed to solve, or it can be we're solving problems in different ways
right?
and organizing even our company and what we think we have to have to solve that problem in a whole new way.
Those are great examples. You got businesses that are, you know, they can be running well and succeeding, and it's like, oh, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, challenging that boundary to go, okay, well, things are going well, but certainly somehow we could be doing more. Yeah. And thinking out of the box can be harder when the box seems just fine how it is.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So some awesome innovation comes out of that kind of thinking. So now that we've covered some of the fundamentals of what tracking these trends could look like, can you give me the elevator pitch overview of some specific trends your group is looking into today? And then we can dive deeper into each.
Sure. Yeah. So first one that I thought about was the rise of the generalist. And so this is where the abilities of generalists that have these skills, so generalists as in people, have these skills across many areas, can see patterns, and leveraging tools like AI, they can, and AI products, they can essentially do a lot of things now. Like, they're more powerful because they can see these patterns across multiple different skill sets. They could be able to write code, as we were just joking about before. They could, they can write a business plan. They can do all these things. And they can connect all the dots because of their general abilities.
I think the next one, if we want to do kind of the elevator pitch on each one and then yep. move into them a bit more deeply, it starts to relate, but isn't exactly the same. But we've been thinking a lot about the kind of the path of evolving automation and how automation is changing over time. Like, we as human beings have always tried to find ways to make work easier. But then we've also found now ways for, and have been for a long time, for other things to do the work for us. And again, as an enabler, that technology has changed over time, and we can talk about how it's gone from massive to tiny scale and even electronic scale. But that evolution of automation is going to impact both the way that, again, in that whole value delivery chain model, the way that we do what we do, and the way that our producers are doing what they're doing. It's not going to slow down.
Awesome. And I could see some connection between those
two
types of trends as well. How about any others?
Yeah, the last one is the acceleration on the speed to disruption. Like the speed and the cost of disrupting the status quo is, the speed's going faster and the costs are declining, built on technologies like the automation that we have that Michael just talked about, cloud computing that's been around for a while, but like that's built upon that foundation, big data, digital, and then with the most recent, obviously, is artificial intelligence. So there's just a lot more tools that are out there for young entrepreneurs, for example. Even we have examples of a 17-year-old starting a company that's worth multi-millions of dollars after a year.
Sure.
Right. And is that probably wasn't possible as possible 5-10 years ago or even a couple of years ago, but using some of these technologies you can deploy quicker and faster and easier and
easier, and then also disrupt
and become more dangerous, but also can disrupt larger companies or larger products as well.
But in terms of like moving forward, innovation and competition and quality of product in the industry and in the world, we're talking about disruption in a positive connotation here, right?
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it depends on if you're the one being disrupted.
Are you the taxi? Are you the taxi company? Are you Uber?
Are you Uber?
Are you the hotel company? Are you Airbnb?
Hey, I'm no economist, but competition is a good thing for everybody. All right, so I know there's kind of some connection between all three of these: rise of the generalist, evolving automation, and the speed to disruption. So I don't want to pigeonhole you into one of the three at a time, but are there any specifics on any of these that you want to share that you've been seeing in these trends?
Yeah, and I think we'll probably just take them in order just to make it easy and kind of, you know, move through the conversation. The rise of the generalist ones is one that I just think is really exciting. I think, you know, you're a technology group, we're a technology company, we're all pretty familiar with the idea of having cross-functional teams where everybody has their specialty but learns to do a little bit more. And I know Dane's got like some great stories about this whole idea. But the ability for me I'll make the joke, as a musician who got into financial services and now is working in lending, to be able to use tools to do things like design or coding is taking somebody who's a generalist and adding skill sets that I may not have had or it would have taken a long time to develop.
Yeah, and like just to give an example here, so I'm not an engineer by trade, I'm an economist by trade. So as you mentioned, you aren't an economist, but working in the benchmarking, we're working on some benchmarking pieces, right, for some of our customers, and they wanted a prototype built, or maybe I saw the need where I could explore some AI tools, and I wanted to explore, let's call it that. So I found some tools out there. There's quite a few of them. One of them is called Replit. You sign up, $25 a month, you give it a few prompts, and it'll actually write the code for you, so you can build a prototype now, super cheap, no engineers involved, no designers involved. It'll actually design it as well. So like you're taking the hat of a designer, taking the hat of an engineer, and all of a sudden you're building something. Granted, it's doesn't look as great. The user experience is not as great.
Hey, we
so
don't
no
shove
offense.
It. We don't shove it to production.
Yeah, but it doesn't go to production.
It's a good test.
It's a good test, but it's all deployable for $25 a month and a few hours of work. I was able to get like a prototype out there to at least touch and feel and understand how a customer may or may not want to use it. So that's just an example where a generalist like me, I'm economist, so I'm pretty general, I haven't even practiced economics in forever at this point, was able to write code and like design a product. So things, I think examples like that are certainly possible. And even fitting that theme into the speed of disruption, there's as I was mentioned, there's a 17-year-old, he built an application called Cal AI. So what it does is it takes a picture of, you take a picture of your food I'm and it'll familiar. Track your calories yeah. for you, right? And I think he, I can't remember the number of millions of dollars, if it was maybe 12 million he did in revenue in his first year, something like that. And
crazy.
All, his 17-year-old built this, right? And yeah. he's disrupting the MyFitnessPals, the,
right.
the incumbents.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's a software engineer either. He just like decided to build this thing and use the power of AI to do it. So you can see there's an AI theme throughout our three trends, but it's more like how they kind of impact different areas.
Sure. Yeah, that's super cool. And funny, that particular example I've seen, you know, on the social media ads. So
yeah, and actually there's like on the App Store there's 40 plus different calorie AI trackers, and I'm sure they're all built pretty cheaply and easily.
Sure.
Using yeah. some of these tools that are out there.
It's definitely a densely competitive area.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I think as we think about the speed of disruption, and I know we're kind of bouncing around here, but if we follow that thread a little bit, not only are the tools making it easier, but there's even a consumer change that we've not talked about a ton, but the cost and the cost to switch is lower than ever, and the willingness to switch is higher than ever. And so I think that is even making a difference in the speed with which people can disrupt markets. People are just not as committed before, as things have gone to, you know, a subscription model, and I'm paying $2 a month to use a tool. A new one comes along, I'll switch my $2, as opposed yeah. to having to make perhaps larger investments into things. And so
these subscriptions are even week to week now,
and they're
week to, even have to yeah. do a month. Mm-hmm.
That's like, right. So, like, you know, we said early on, it's not just technology, because there's other things like switching costs changing and willingness to switch changing that also enables people to take advantage of the speed with which I can get something out there into people's hands and try it out, right? Which is really interesting.
And it's not always like technology in a software sense, right? From right. a speed of disruption. If you think of, some of this is like YouTube TV, I guess that's technology, but you know, they just thought differently about their business too, of how to deploy, I guess, cable television to us, right? And now they've disrupted a big part of the market, the cable television market. You have Robinhood, which has disrupted a lot of traditional brokers, right? And went after a new market. And then you have new products like in the pharmaceutical world, like Wegovy, these Ozempic, the weight loss, the GLP-1 drugs that are gonna disrupt a couple different things. One being just the market for that, like the market for weight loss drugs, but two is actually the calories that will be consumed from a grand scheme of things. If more people are on weight loss drugs, we'll be eating less food. So there's some interesting disruptions out there that are not just like software.
For sure, yeah. And Ozempic is sure a headlining one. All right, anything else on these specific trends today, or should we wrap it up ahead of our next episode?
We haven't talked a lot about the automation one, and I think there's some interesting things happening in automation. So there's this, there was this story, right, that automation is something that only happens on the largest scale with the largest of machines, and then we suddenly had robots vacuuming our floors and mopping, right? We heard of one at CES just a little bit ago that will not only vacuum, but it'll recognize that your sock is on the floor and pick it up, right? And so, like, the automation is changing, and where this starts to be interesting is while automation was only accessible to the largest of players, now it's accessible in our homes, it's accessible on our phones through things like generative AI, it's accessible within the things we're already using. And I think it's interesting to see how we're seeing that impact, you know, things like what Waymo doing self-driving cars, and now I'm automating those rides that went from taxis to a service,
to Uber,
to a marketplace, to now Waymo, right, there's not even a driver in there. We've got robot companies that are making robots with robots. That's pretty interesting. But even within our space, right, a while back we had an innovation event in Fargo, and iGen was able to kind of demonstrate their robot to us that goes around and lives on the farm and is AI driven, network connected, and weeding manually. We've seen tons of uptake on drone usage and changes in that. We've even seen we were looking at somebody that's using a self-driving leader and follower technology originally developed for the military, being used by a small co-op in North Dakota.
For semi-trucks.
For semi-trucks. Basically reducing the number of drivers needed to get trucks on the road and delivering, sugar beets.
It's wild. If the driver drives around a pothole, the follower semi will follow, around.
The follower is an autonomously driven.
Yeah, follower's autonomous truck. So it just does whatever the first truck does.
And it's fascinating to see these things not just kind of out there as, oh, wouldn't that be cool, but it's being used by this co-op.
Yeah. Mindak Sugar Beet Co-op.
Yep, Mindak.
Yeah, in Wapton, North Dakota.
And so it's just really interesting to see how these automated tasks are going to start hitting us. And we all know, even within the organization like we're in, mm-hmm. we're trying to automate things all the time, right? In your world, we mm-hmm. automate testing. Mm-hmm. In processing of documentation, we try to automate the reading of the documentation. We've been using OCR technology as a society for how many years, right? Tons of time. And we're continuing to now work through those.
But I think there's one more piece to that, Michael. Maybe you're getting to that. Is you OCR the document, and now you actually have agents that can make decisions because you've trained them mm-hmm. on what to do with that document or what to do with what's in there. So there's even a whole nother level to mm-hmm. this automation that's
yeah.
coming.
Yeah, and where we're seeing that now go, and where it's going to go through things like Copilot Studio, through all these ways that we can make these agents that'll do decision making for us and then learn just like the teammate next to you learns. It's really interesting to see what the possibilities will be to do what we do more effectively, even as the people outside and customer owners are doing what they do more effectively by taking advantage of these automations.
Yeah. What robot, by the way, do you want to automate? What do you want at home? If you could buy one right now, what would you get?
You know what I want is one that cleans my cat's litter boxes, because Ooh. We've got 3 cats and 4 litter boxes, and I know there's some mechanical things, but I want a robot that actually takes that out and gets it out of the house and everything. That would be phenomenal.
Oh, it actually get out of the house too.
Yeah, I want it to do the whole job for me, soup to nuts.
Mm. What about because I have a robotic one too, right? But I have to take the bag.
You then have to take it out.
How about it also every couple of days adds a little bit of litter in? That's the whole job.
Now you've got everything. let's get going on that one.
Yeah, I was just thinking more simple, like a lawnmower, but
That's good too.
Yeah, very interesting. I'm excited to see where our world goes in the next few years as all of these things are just one foot in front of the other, solving one more thing and then one more thing and then one more thing. But it looks like we're going to wrap up today's episode here. So I thank you guys for joining us again, Michael and Dane. And I thank our listeners for joining us as well. And I would encourage you again to go back to our previous episodes in this series and our previous episodes on the TriCatch podcast as well. And then stay tuned for our next one with this group about activating on the innovative ideas that they come up with and bring to the table. Have a great day.
Thank you.